Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Well, today we are doing our gospel portion. We're going to be reading Acts chapter 16 today, which starts off with the first few verses being a little slow, but then Paul and his travels, there's an interesting story dealing with a woman who was basically a fortune teller. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and what the Bible has to say about like divination and sorcery and those kind of things. And then we should still have time to do our gospel portion for the day, which is very, very short. It's 5 verses, John chapter 20, verses 15 through 20. And so that is the plan. And so let's dig right in. Acts chapter 16, we'll be reading from the King James Bible. Real quick, I've been getting a lot of... Let me bring this up real quick. I've been getting a lot of emails as of late. Lots of new listeners and things like that, which is great. So if you haven't received a response from me, it's because I haven't been able to catch up. I have very little time that I can dedicate to the email. And if it seems like you get a short message from me, again, it's a time-based thing. What I might end up having to do is a bi-weekly or weekly, or every 10, 15 days or so, I may have to do a Q&A, a question and answer podcast, just in order to answer all the questions. So that may be something in the future. One thing that people are, well, you know what, I'm just going to save it. Maybe we'll do a Q&A podcast. So let me know what you think about that. And I guess if you have questions for that podcast, you can ask them by emailing them to me. I'm not going to pull them from YouTube and Facebook and all these places. So if you have a question that you would like to go on a Q&A podcast where I just go through the questions, by the way, I won't read out your names or anything like that. So those of you who are asking me some questions that are quite personal, I won't read exactly what the question says or anything, but I'll just answer it, that type of thing. So you don't have to worry about any of that. Because some of you have sent me some questions that are obviously pretty stuff I'm sure you don't want to be talking about in the open. And that's understandable. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And anyway, let's get to our actual study today. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren, that they were at Lystra and Iconium. Him and Paul have to go forth with, and took and circumcised him of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man at Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Napolis. All right, real quick, man. sometimes you get into these and you're reading a bunch of names and things that just are messing with you. And so I apologize. I was having some struggles reading that this morning. But basically, there was Paul, he's traveling. He finds Timothy there. Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew and believed, and his father was a Greek. So his mom was Jewish, his father was Greek. But anyway, as they're traveling, the Holy Spirit is resisting them to prevent them from going into Asia and preaching the word, because it wasn't time to go there yet, or for whatever reason. And so Paul's trying to figure out where he's supposed to go preach, ends up having a vision in the middle of the night. Says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so they determined that God, that's where God wants them to be, and so that's where they're going. Verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted there thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. All right, so here's the part of the story that I think gets really interesting. So it says, when we came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. So this guy has this woman, and she's making him a lot of money through her sorcery, through her divination, which she is able to do through the power of possession. Now, this is something that the Bible warns us about. And the reason the Bible warns us about is because it's real. It really is real. That's why you see these people in the elite, within Hollywood, doing all these weird rituals and things like that on stage. They're trying to bring a spirit upon them that gives them power. They believe it. The scriptures warn us against it. Pagan cultures have practiced this kind of stuff forever. There really is something to it. Here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy, warning us about it. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14, warning the Israelites about this. When thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through fire. See, we kill our kids in the womb. They used to burn theirs on an altar, these pagan nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughters to pass through fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. So he's warning the Israelites, when you go into the land, do not do as they do. Do not pass your kids through the fire. Do not use divination or an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or anyone who consults with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. The Bible's warning against it because it's a real thing. There are those who consult with familiar spirits, and I don't have time to get into all of it. There's even certain pharmakia drugs that people use, which opens up their minds and are able to see entities and communicate with entities, all this weird stuff. We don't really cover that on this show, but there is some people who do cover it. The only point I wanted to make is that God says this exists, you need to stay away from it. And so here we have in the story, Paul running into a woman who has a possession of divination within her. Okay? So, and it's making her master money. So let's pick back up in the book of Acts. We'll start back with 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Interesting enough that demons always seem to recognize, don't they? You know, when they see Messiah, they recognize Messiah. You remember that issue where the guy who's in chains, he's possessed by a legion of demons, and if they fall on his knees and they're like, they call him the Son of God, or you're here to torture us before our time. Like, they always know, which I think is interesting. Verse 18, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. See, now that the devil's out of the woman, she no longer has the power of divination. Therefore, she's no longer able to make money for her master. And by the way, if you're wondering what divination is, it's kind of like psychic. Being a fortune teller. Forecasting the future. Soothsaying, prophecy, prediction. It's that kind of, that's kind of like what it is. That the power that she had. Alright, where was I? And when her master saw that the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. All right, so after this, the people get upset, and Paul is thrown into prison. Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, and they're told to be kept under tight lock and key, basically. So they're put in the middle of the prison, and they're shackled. And so that's where the story picks up, verse 25. And at midnight, it's important to notice Paul and Silas' attitude. They had just been beaten. What does it say? And they laid many stripes upon them. They'd just been beaten. Now they're in prison. And here's their attitude. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoner heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here's why, no matter what happens to us, that our walk with the way we walk matters and can impact souls. Here we have the soldier. He's getting ready to kill himself after this earthquake because he assumes prisoners are gone. I'm a dead man anyway. Paul and Silas shout out, "Hey, we're still here." And so he had heard them singing praises to God in spite of the fact that they were just beat and shackled. He sees that there's an earthquake and that they're free, yet they stay, which immediately convicts him. And then he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And let's see what Paul's answer is. Is it going to be perform some type of work? Is it going to be make sure you never break the Torah? Is it going to be learn the Hebrew language? What's it going to be to this Roman soldier or to this soldier? And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, those decisions that Paul and Silas made, it domino affected. Not only was this man saved, but his whole household was saved. You see, when you demonstrate Christ to one person, just one person can be a domino effect. And you have no idea how many people will come to the Lord as a result of that work, a result of doing that for the kingdom. Verse 35, and when it was day, the magistrates sent to the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "And the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and we have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the surgeons told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And that is Acts chapter 16. Pretty interesting stuff, I must say. Well, I've only got a few more minutes, so let's read our 5 verses from the Gospel of John today, from the Gospel portion for this week. And obviously it's dealing with the moments after the resurrection of our Savior. Here's what it says. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have been born him since, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." See, Mary is at the tomb. She notices that the body's gone. She's weeping. She's crying. She wants to know, where has he been laid? Little does she know that Jesus is standing before her, risen. But she's supposing that he is the gardener. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself, and she saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Likely he probably said in Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem. That's not actually in the King James Bible. He just said, in the King James, it says, Peace unto you. But that's such a common phrase in Israel, Shalom Aleichem, that I just imagine him saying that. Verse 20, And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, there you have it, friends. I pray that you've been blessed by the study this morning. You know, some mornings I just, you know, just don't have it. And I stumble over my words and things just don't flow well. And it was one of those mornings, so I apologize for that. But I pray that you were blessed in spite of me, because the Word of God is powerful and living. And even an average person, an average sinful person like myself, who's at the mercy of God and at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, can speak the words and they can go forth and bless many. But it's not because of me, it's because of the power of the Word of God. And I pray that it's blessed you this morning. Lord willing, everything plays out like it's supposed to, we will resume our study in the Book of Jubilees tomorrow morning. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.